Our scriptures this morning come from 2 Timothy, 1 chapter, verses 3 through 7. Thanksgiving. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. The appeal for loyalty to Paul and the gospel. For this season, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of the hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline.
And Lord, we do pray for those who listen by podcast that you would meet each one, God, at their point of need. This sermon today will be a blessing to them. And we give you all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, it's my honor to introduce our regional minister, Reverend Josh Patty from Des Moines, and he's going to come and minister to us. And then you all know we're here to recognize that I received standing from the Disciples of Christ, and we'll go through a ceremony for that. So thank you again all for coming. Please welcome Reverend Josh.
Thank you. Good morning, all. It is awfully good to be with you all. It's been a while since I've been able to worship with you, so it's a treat for me to be with you in Council Bluffs today here at Broadway. On behalf of 104 of our sibling congregations and now officially more than 200 of our colleagues in ministry in Iowa and Minnesota, yes, and North Dakota and South Dakota, I bring your greetings in the name of Jesus the Christ. It is awfully good to represent them to you in the flesh this day. It is awfully good to represent you to them as I travel around in ministry throughout our region. One more word of gratitude before we dig into our reflection this morning, and that is, you know, we do a lot in our region, but one of our biggest ministries is camp. You have long supported our work, our ministry, our shared ministry, including our camp ministry. I'm happy to share with you that almost 500 people participated in our camp program, plus another 100 volunteers to facilitate that this summer, and that also includes senior retreat that comes up next month as well in September, but a good number of people coming to holy ground, and we hope experiencing the presence of God in their midst and taking the seeds of that, those experiences, those relationships, that learning and gleaning into their lives, becoming leaders in so many ways, in their families and their congregations. A few of them will go on and become vocational ministers. Many will just be ministers like the rest of us, right? Living and loving and serving and forgiving, and I hope bringing peace into this world. So thank you for the ways that you help us do that. Thank you for all the ministries that you're sharing out here in Council Bluffs. Yeah. Now, as we dig into our scripture this morning, I'm going to ask a question that's going to seem probably pretty dumb. That's just, why are you here this morning? Why are you here? What led you to be in a sanctuary a little after 9 a.m., 9:18 if that clock is right, Central Daylight Time, this Lord's Day? Oh, I put a little praise the Lord. I mean, many of you find yourselves in worship most Sundays, yes, right? Honor our pastor. It's a special day for our pastor today. So we're here for that. To seek comfort from the Lord. To our friendships with each other. To support each other and be supported by each other. There's more to that list. My guess is to welcome our sister church. And my guess is, for us as disciples, that somehow, and even in ways beyond words, to experience God's presence through the sharing of bread and cup in Jesus' name at the table, right? All of those are reasons why we're here. One of the things we didn't say, but I think it's one of the things we often bring with us when we come to worship, is an expectation that somehow, some way, God's working on us and we're going to be a little bit better after we've been here today than we were yesterday, right? And often the sermon is about that, isn't it? It's about how we are in that refiner's fire, to draw on a different passage of Scripture, or we're the clay that God continues to mold into the people. And here's the phrase. This isn't a biblical phrase, I don't think, but it's the one I like to use. As we become the people God always dreamed we could be, right? I think that's what God is working on us, and that's what you hope the sermon's going to be. I mean, you may have your doubts a minute into the sermon this morning, but that's, I think, what we hope. When we open the Scriptures, when we read a devotional, or the pastor shares a word, we hope we're going to be a little bit wiser, better, more fruitful, more faithful after that. And we should expect that. In fact, a lot of our faith, I think, is about that. It's about recognizing how God has reached into our lives and is shaping and molding us. Which is to say, a lot of our faith is a very individual experience, isn't it? Notwithstanding that we've all come together, and it's important that we're together in this space today, a lot of it is individual. And in fact, if we were to each tell the stories of our faith, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to ask you for a testimony this morning. But if we were to each share our stories of faith, there'd be some similarities, but there'd be some differences, wouldn't there? There'd be some unique ways that if you think about it quietly, that God has touched your life in powerful ways. In fact, my guess is because of some of those ways that God has powerfully touched you, that's part of the reason why you're here in this space at this time, this day. In fact, some of those you may never have even shared with anybody, but you know in your heart of hearts, they're there, right? Believe it or not, this is all prologue to the sermon. I want to recognize all of that. I want to celebrate all of that. And I want us to set that just to the side for a few minutes today. And I want us to think about something, about part of the reason why we're here that I don't think we give enough credit to. And now, because I hope I'm a decent preacher, I'm going to point us back to the scripture of the day, which is Paul's letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, that first chapter, those first few verses, where Paul does something that he does in almost every one of his letters except Galatians. He offers thanks. It's kind of like niceties. Whether it's when you write a card or a letter or you call somebody on the phone or somebody gives a speech, there's that opening section, right? I've been thinking about you. Or we recognize all the important people who are gathered in a speech, right? It's almost like we're clearing our throat. We come to expect it. We'd miss it if it wasn't part of that speech. If we sent somebody a card and we didn't tell them why that we were sending them a card, they'd wonder. It would feel a little awkward if we got a card and it just signed their name. Well, I'm glad they're thinking of me, but I wonder why, right? But here, it's not just a nice Paul. In every case, Paul is like, he starts out, I give thanks to God for you. I've been thinking about you. That's implied. I pray and give thanks to God for you. That's where he starts, always. But in this letter, he goes on. He's writing specifically to Timothy. And he says, and I remember your grandma, and I remember your mama, and I remember when I laid hands on you. Three distinct people in Timothy's life that helped him find the faith that he has. And so what I'd like to invite us to do this morning is just briefly reflect and remember and celebrate and, following Paul's example, give thanks to God for the people who passed this faith on to us. I'm not going to ask for answers, but I want to take a moment. I want to give you 20 seconds. Can you think of a couple of people by name, by face, who helped you, who gave you at least part of the faith that you cherish this day? Just take a few seconds and think of them and give thanks to God for them. I think, first of all, praise be for all of them. My guess is we have named more people in our hearts than are sitting in this space this day. Right? That's part of what I think is meant by the cloud of witnesses. What a great gift. And my guess is with some of those people, you might be able to think of specific conversations or specific moments, specific interactions you had with them that you cherish. But with some of them, it's not a specific moment, is it? It's kind of an emotional response to a lifetime or a lengthy series of interactions with them, right? It's how they met challenges. I'll never forget, my mother was in a car accident. She was hit by a drunk driver, put her in the hospital for a while because it fractured part of her lower body, had to do surgeries and healings. She was the calmest person in the hospital and in her recovery every day. One of the calmest people I have ever seen, and certainly one of the calmest people facing those kind of challenges because of her faith. I'll never forget it. I was in my 20s by that point. I'd gotten to learn a lot about faith through her before that. Never forget it. Can't always emulate it. Can you think about like a sense of love, what love really looks like? Our understanding of love, I mean, if we're not careful, our understanding of love comes from the movies, and that could be very dangerous. But love that you've seen, loving interactions that you've witnessed and that you try to emulate, you've seen them in other people. What forgiveness looks like, what grace looks like, what persistence. I always come back to this. What communion looks like when we're not in this space gathered around this table, but what communion looks like beyond these walls, because we experience it, don't we, beyond these walls. And some of that, some of our recognitions of that, comes from the other people who have shared their faith with us. Sometimes with words, but much more often just through their actions and their interactions with us. And I don't think we take enough time to recognize that and celebrate it, and like Paul did this morning, remind us to this morning, give thanks to God for those people and those relationships. And it seems appropriate to do it this day because I hope that some of those people are pastors. I hope one of them is sitting up here in the front pew right now. I have no doubt, just in my conversations, in my relationship with you, Virgery, I know that you have family members that have helped give you faith and strengthen your faith. And here's the thing, it is no disrespect to them when we take that gift of faith and then we become a little different than they were. Timothy is not his mama, he's not his grandma, and he's not Paul. He's Timothy. And you are not those people who gave you the faith yourself, and you're going to be somewhat similar to them, and there are going to be things that you have done that are significantly different in how you live out your faith than they lived out theirs. Same faith, different people. We celebrate that. We give thanks to God for that. And then we come back to the next piece of it, though. This is where we can be a little shaped by this morning's sermon, I think. It is our opportunity. Whether we realize it or not, whether we actively accept it or not, it is our opportunity to pass the faith we have on to others around us. That is our great opportunity. I'm reminded every day, not just because I'm the regional minister, and believe it or not, I don't often have to be reminded of that fact because I have a 9-year-old boy who's fascinated by my job title and who calls me the regional minister as much as he calls me dad right now. But I'm reminded of it because we have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old that my wife, also an ordained minister, and I are trying to pass faith onto, knowing that they're going to grow up somewhat similar to how we have and somewhat different than we have. But we want to give them this gift of faith, recognizing that it was given to us by members of our families, by our teachers and our pastors, sometimes by friends around us. We want to give them that. I have a good retired Methodist minister. I don't get to talk to him nearly as much as I used to. 3 kids, a lot busier than I used to be. But when we talk about the kids, he'll talk to them some too. They know Jim. They know Jim's voice. That we live states apart, so we don't get to see each other very much. And the one thing he frequently says after he hears them is, boy, I can hear what a loving house this is. Now, look, if you were to show up at our house at 7:15 at night, the witching hour in our house, I'm not entirely certain that you would describe it as a loving atmosphere, because it is loud and sometimes it's angry because we have people who are tired and frustrated, and mom and dad may be tired and frustrated too, and people not quite doing what they're supposed to be doing. So in our loving household, there are angry words and yelling, and yet that is not the norm, even though it happens a lot before bedtime, because those are the hard times with young kids, right? I hear the love in your house. I hope so. We strive for that, don't we? I hope that regardless of whether there's anger sometimes in our voices or frustration when things don't quite go right, that if people were to describe your house, they would be able to say something like that. I hear, I see love in your family, in your lives, in your household. I see forgiveness and grace. I see learning and growth. School's starting again. I see peace. I see joy. I see hope. I hear it. More often, that's the faith that we can pass along. Sometimes it's those particular moments that people will remember. They'll remember those specific words the rest of their lives. But how many specific words do you remember? But emotions, that kind of overall emotional sense of presence and attention and love and appreciation, we don't forget that. And in ways that I don't think we often recognize, it continues to shape us. Which is why 2,000 years later, you and I are talking about two women from the other side of the world, named Lois and Eunice, and their grandson and son named Timothy. Not because we know any of their words. We don't know really, except for a couple of moments in Timothy's life, we don't know any of their actions. What do we know about them? Their great faith, which my guess is rooted in Christian love. And it means that somehow they and others that have come before us, those that have passed this faith on to us and invited us to experience it, they'll be present with us. They are present with us, but they'll be powerfully present with us when we gather with that cloud of witnesses in Christ's name at Christ's table this day. And they're with us all of the times that we gather at this table in Christ's name. Wow. Right? Wow. Anne Lamott wrote a book, and that was one of the three words that she said ought to be a good, faithful response. That was one of them. Wow. I don't know that we wow enough in church. You wow a little bit more because I know Virgie will not stop encouraging you to wow. Wow. It's awfully good to be with you this day. That sermon just led right to the table, but we're not going to the table yet. So hold that thought. Instead, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate Virgie's hard work and her commitment to be a minister with Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Yeah. And so we're going to recognize her ordination. And just know, this is part of how we in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ understand the wholeness of the church. We understand that the church is one, but we're only one part of it, right? And so we try to honor the rest of the church, including things that have happened in the rest of the church, which is why if you become a member here and you've been baptized in another tradition, another Christian tradition, we say, you don't have to get baptized here. You've already been baptized into Christ's one church, right? Well, Virgie doesn't need to be ordained again. She's ordained. We celebrate that. We're grateful to God for that. We're grateful that God's church, that Christ's church is so big, so much bigger than our limitations. Amen? Amen. And so today we celebrate her ordination. We recognize it and recognize her. Yeah, our standing is the formal word. Her credentials, her place as a minister, recognized minister in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. I know she has been your pastor, which means, frankly, in practice, we have recognized her ministry. But now we make it official in this particular way, and we're grateful for all the things that Virgie did. There are certain things that we have to do to make sure that we're on the same page, and she knows, frankly, what she's getting into. And here's the blessing. We know some of what we're getting into, but not everything, because thank God, every new person into our midst brings new things. And we're so grateful for the new things that Virgie has already been bringing to us and that the additional new things that she'll bring in the future. So I invite you to join in this recognition of ordination. As fellow servants of Jesus Christ, we urge one another to live lives worthy of the calling each one has received and the ministry entrusted to each person. We make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Today, we recognize the ordination of the Reverend Virgie Sanford and her ministry standing within the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Disciples believe that ordination is a sacred act consecrated by God, and it is a human acknowledgement recognized by the church. Disciples understand ordination as ordination to the whole church, which extends beyond time and space and lives wherever there are persons who confess faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet, ordination is also particular. It is lived out in specific places and within identifiable community structures. Our action today, oops, I missed one name replacement in the template. I apologize, Virgie. Our action today does not replace or supersede Paul's ordination in a different location. It also does not replace or supersede Virgie's ordination, but rather celebrates it. And so I'd invite you to enter again into covenant with us. A shared confession of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ is this. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and profess Him Savior of the world. Virgie, do you this day join with fellow disciples of Christ in making this confession of faith?
I do.
Do you believe that you are truly called by God and the church to the life and work of ministry in the name of Jesus Christ?
I do.
Throughout your ministry as an ordained minister, you have devoted yourself to consistent spiritual discipline, a ministry of teaching the faith, offering gentle pastoral care, guiding the church in acts of compassion, justice, and mercy, lifting up the church's ecumenical call to reflect our unity in Christ, and embodying a ministry that is both contextually responsible and global in scope. Do you renew your commitment to such a ministry as this?
I do, with the help of God, and only with the help of God.
Amen to that. Friends, you have heard the promises of our sister. Do you, who are also called by God to serve, affirm Virgery and this recognition of her ordination?
Amen.
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 Yes. Let's join in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the ways that you have reached into each of our lives, for the people that you have placed before us who have invited us into faith, and for the invitations you have given us personally to respond to that invitation. The opportunities to say yes, to follow you, and to share your love, your compassion, your grace, your hope, your peace in the world around us. This particular day, we give you especial thanks for your daughter, Virgery, and for the ways that she has answered your invitations, for the ways she says yes to serve in Jesus' name. We give you thanks for her ministry, and we trust that it will continue to bless others as it has blessed us these many years. In fact, may you continue to bless Virgery. Keep working on her. Keep refining her in your fire, but through her, keep refining others through your fire. Spread your words and your love through her. Bless her and bless others through her, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.